The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akusia Yamwa. In the headlines, NDC cautions political parties against usurping work of Electoral Commission. NPP women take government to task for seizure of textiles on the market. Telecom subscribers in northern region dissatisfied with quality of service. Government work stores release of alleged 70 detained mercenaries in Libya. Benin hosts exhibition on made in Ghana goods. Schools in Swaziland shut for economic reasons and football. Ghana's men and women qualify for finals of All African Games. First, a summary by Jennifer Adulabi.
The NDC has cautioned political parties against usurping the work of the Electoral Commission through hijacking the Inter-Party Advisory Committee, IPAC. The vice chairman of the party, Alhaji Hudu Yaya, who made the observation in a document on the activities of IPAC, said the NDC is concerned at the seeming use of strong-arm tactics by the EC in decision-making during IPAC meetings. Telecom subscribers in the northern region are dissatisfied with quality of service. This is as a result of poor client service response to complaints. The National Communications Authority, in order to solve this problem, says it will impose fines on mobile telecom providers if they fail to address poor network services. A deputy director of the NCA, Malko Zomelo, announced this during a two-week fact-finding tour by officials of the NCA to the northern region. Government is working assiduously to seek the release of about 70 detained mercenaries backing pro-Gaddafi forces. The Foreign Affairs Minister Alhaji Mohamed Mumuni says Ghana's mission in Tripoli is working hard to have the prisoners released. The suspects are currently held in detention in the Libyan capital Tripoli. An exhibition on made in Ghana goods is underway in Cotonou, Benin. The 10-day event is organized by the Ghana Exports Promotion Council under the auspices of the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Opening the ceremony, Ghana's ambassador to Benin, Modestus Ahiable, urged African countries to collaborate economically through bilateral trade. Most schools in Swaziland are shut as a result of the financial crisis the government is facing. Reports say teachers have been boycotting classes at the start of the new term due to the inability of the government to pay for school fees. Meanwhile, the government says it has not received a $35 million loan promised by South Africa to help it pay bills. And in football, the national under-23 football team, the Black Meteors, and the national under-20 female team, the Black Princesses, yesterday qualified for the finals of the All Africa Games in Mozambique. The Meteors beat Cameroon 1-0, whilst the Black Princesses beat Algeria 3-0 to secure a final place. Both Ghana and Cameroon are unbeaten in the competition.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
The news in detail. The NDC has cautioned political parties to be careful not to usurp the principles and work of the EC through hijacking their Inter-Party Advisory Committee, IPAC. The party, however, expressed concern at the use of strong-arm tactics by the EC in decision-making during IPAC meetings and emphasized the need for the EC to recognize political parties' contribution, without which IPAC would not have been instituted. The vice chairman of the NDC, Alhaji Hudu Yaya, made the observation in a document of the activities of IPAC. Here's a news desk report.
The vice chairman of NDC, Alhaji Hudu Yahaya,
criticized the EC for poorly managing the alleged bloated voters register complaint lodged by the party in 2008 election. He also blamed the EC for the drastic reduction in the number of IPAC meetings in recent times as compared to the period between 1993 and 2000, as well as the agenda for IPAC not being well set. The MPP, on the other hand, complained of lack of adequate time to deliberate on issues pertaining to IPAC. The party pointed out that an hour deliberation at IPAC is woefully inadequate in view of the seriousness of some of the issues. The former General Secretary of the party, Nana Ohini Ntou, believes that some of the major issues discussed should go beyond the regular period of about 1 to 4 hours and even comprise weekends in order to deliberate in a relaxed atmosphere when there are serious issues to be discussed. Nana Ntou urged the EC to find a way of extending the time to create a better working relationship between it and the political parties. The General Secretary of the CPP, Ivor Greenstreet, expressed worry at the irregular meetings of IPAC. Mr. Greenstreet said there were instances when the opposition parties at a time threatened through news conferences that the EC was deliberately not convening IPAC meetings for the parties to discuss topical issues. It also complained on negative reportage when there was an issue. The political parties, in spite of the challenges, noted that IPAC has helped in building trust and confidence in the electoral process, which had translated into free, fair and transparent elections.
A news desk report. The women's wing of the NPP has taken a swipe at government for the recent seizures of textiles on the market. According to them, government is only using the Chinese as an excuse to persecute hard-working Ghanaian women. Addressing a press conference in Accra, the NPP women's wing alleged that the victims are being targeted because they refused to pay monies to officials who are engaged in the seizure. In an interview with a local radio station, the parliamentary candidate for Abdikma South, Ursula Owusu, asked government not to politicize the issue, but tackle it from the top and not to deny the women in the textile business their means of a livelihood. She said the women who trade in textiles are people who just want to make a living regardless of their political background, and if the conditions are good for them, they'll be able to support their families. Madam Ursula noted that the Ministry of Trade and Industry, the revenue agencies and the Standard Board should devise strategies and policies which would ensure that local industries survive and those who import the goods from China are able to go about business safely without any harassment. The research and advocacy platform RAP has called for a continuous and sustained debate on the whistleblower website WikiLeaks. It said calls by some personalities to shelve the debate on the cable is an affront to freedom of speech and information. Speaking at a forum in Accra, its executive director, Felix Kwachufusu, said the cable has made revelations about some personalities who want to lead a nation. He said if such issues are not discussed, Ghana will be the loser. The convener of the Forum for Governance and Justice, Dr. Clement Apak, said it's unfortunate that people are calling for a complete blackout of the cable. He said the content in the cable is authentic. He said Ghana should be grateful for the leak because it has exposed people for their double standards. Dr. Apak said the content of the cable is relevant in the delivery of justice. The executive director for the Center for Policy Research, Dr. White Percy, said the leak cable should not be politicized. He said the things that unite Ghanaians as a people are more than those that divide them. He, however, noted that some of the issues raised need to be interrogated. The National Communication Authority says it will impose fines on mobile telecom providers if they fail to address poor network services. The deputy director at the NCA, Malcolm Zemolo, announced the measure during a tour to the northern region by officials of the NCA for a two-week fact-finding exercise. Districts visited in Tamale include Yendi, Nkanduri, Bole, Nalerigu, Damongo and Waliwali to find out the reactions of the public about the quality of telecom services. Mr. Zomelu said the interaction was also to find out the understanding of the public on the operation of the service providers, customer rights and responsibilities. Information gathered during the exercise, he said, showed that most subscribers were dissatisfied with network operators. One major concern, Mr. Zomelu Zomelo mentioned was the issue of poor client service response to complaints. The results of the fact-finding, he said, would enable NTA to develop effective strategies with operators to address the concerns raised by the public. He said the authority would soon open branches nationwide, starting with the Northern Ashanti and Western regions. The confusion surrounding the leadership of the National Union of Ghana Students NUGS has taken another dimension. Last weekend, the student body elected its new executive to run the union for a year, but Ghanaians woke up to hear the news that NUGS has two heads, one elected in Accra and the other reported to have had his nod from the Volta region. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the immediate past president of NUGS, Hamza Suini, expressed regret at the current impasse, but was optimistic the problem would be resolved.
First of all, I think that it behooves on me as the outgoing president of the National Union of Ghana Students to apologize to the good people of Ghana for the unfortunate developments in the National Student Fund, basically because of certain actions and inactions of saboteurs of the National Union of Ghana Students. I mostly refer to them as disgruntled members of our union, and indeed, as an outgoing president, I should have done all in my power to ensure that all these concerns of these individuals are addressed. But I'm equally that I have tried so hard to at least allay their fears and most importantly manage their frustrations, but it appears they are not willing to do so. Let me make one quick correction. My attention equally has been drawn to a particular personality who parades himself in the media as president of the National Union of Ghana Students.
I just want to find out from you the kind of NUGS that you met and the kind of NUGS that you are about to hand over.
I met a formidable NUGS, and I'm sure many would agree with me before I came into office as NUGS president, even the relevance of the National Students Fund as far as the nation is concerned was in question. It was after I took over as president of the National Union of Ghana Students that the majority of our people started hearing the NUGS once again.
But the concern of many, Hamza, is that NUGS is not what it used to be. NUGS was a union, a student body that has a strong voice on national issues. I remember before Get Fund came to being, the kind of struggle that NUGS and all students had to go through. You know, these years, we hardly hear the voice of NUGS on national issues. We just had National Constitution Review Commission, and NUGS was hardly heard on such a thing like that.
I think that once again, it is not fair to say that in the National Constitutional Review, we did not play an active role. Let me state that we even presented our position as far as the 1992 Constitution is concerned.
So is that the kind of democracy that is brewing in NUGS?
I can assure you that the union is still resilient. We have gone through similar challenges. I think somewhere in 1996 or 1995, there were similar challenges, but we came out stronger. I am very much optimistic that once again, the National Union of Ghana Students will come out as a formidable force in terms of student activity.
Immediate past president of NUGS, Hamza Suini. One of the claimants to the NUGS presidency, Peter Koji, says he derives his legitimacy from the constitution of the union. He blamed government for deepening the confusion on the students' front. He alleges that it was the Ministry of Education which funded the just-ended Congress. He spoke to Abraham Asari.
Anybody who wants to call himself president of the union would have to derive his authority from a source. And I think that we derive our authority from the constitution of the National Union of Ghana Students. The same constitution that supposedly Hamza also says he derives his authority from. But if you speak to Hamza over time, he will hint to you that government recognizes him as NUGS president, and then the media has recognized him as NUGS president, and for that matter, he is NUGS president. But I think that the media does not determine for NUGS who the NUGS president is. Secondly, government does not determine who NUGS president is. And so for me, we would now want to define NUGS president by whom government recognizes him. And I think that we will not be doing NUGS too much good.
Tell us, Peter, how has government showed its recognition for Hamza?
I would want to quickly mention that the supposed emergency congress that he mentioned that elected him. Funding for that emergency congress emanated from the Ministry of Education. At the time that NUGS was in crisis, and the Ministry of Education felt it necessary to release funds for a supposed election of a new NUGS president, when the person who had so been removed was battling the issue in court. And so again, this particular emergency congress that we speak of, the supposed person that was removed at the time had an injunction that restrained them from organizing that congress, and it was ignored. And up to today, the law court has not been able to even slap a contempt application on them.
So then, who funded the congress that elected you?
The congress was funded by the students, because students pay its captation for congress.
one of the claimants to the NUC's presidency, Peter Koji, talking to Abraham Asari. Meanwhile, the Director of Public Affairs of the Ministry of Education, Paul Crumper, has denied allegations that the Ministry of Education is funding a rival faction in the NUC's presidency. Mr. Crumper noted that the just-ended Congress was solely funded by the association itself. He used the opportunity to call on the two factions to come together and have a common front.
The ministry has over the years been supporting me because it's a recognized body within the education sector. But I just want to make a point here that at no time did I tell a British group that the ministry supported AMSA. At no time did I say anything like that.
What I want to find out from you is what kind of support do you give me?
You know, normally when they are actually organizing congresses, they actually send the budget to the ministry for support. The ministry looks at it. But when they submitted their budget for the organization of the emergency congress, the ministry didn't have enough funds, so they couldn't support them.
You mean this year's congress?
I'm talking about this congress that, you know, there was an emergency congress,
yes,
where Hamza was elected as the president of NUC. There wasn't funds, so the ministry could not support them. Supported themselves and organized the congress.
Is the ministry aware that there are two groups claiming leadership of NUC?
We are very much aware, but we are surprised that there should be two. We recognize Hamza Fashion as the body that is actually representing students in this country.
How come you recognize Hamza?
No, Hamza was actually elected by the students, and he has actually been the president of NUC over the years. And then, based upon that, there was a congress recently at home. He actually handed over to a newly elected president.
How about Abuchi?
I don't see him as the NUC president.
Director of Public Affairs at the Ministry of Education, Paul Crumper. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. NDC cautions political parties against usurping work of Electoral Commission. NPP women take government to task for seizure of textiles on the market. Telecom subscribers in northern region dissatisfied with quality of service. Government work stores release of 70 Ghanaians detained in Libya for allegedly fighting as mercenaries for pro-Gaddafi forces. Benin hosts exhibition on made-in-Ghana goods. Schools in Swaziland shut for economic reasons and football. Ghana's men and women qualify for finals of all African games. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The Director General of the West African Health Organization, WHO, Dr. Namudu Keita, says the region may not achieve the health-related MDGs by 2015 due to inadequate progress recorded in almost all member states of ECOWAS. It's against this background that WHO and the Ministry of Health are collaborating to address the issue of health service delivery in West Africa. This was disclosed at a workshop in Accra on the harmonization for health in West Africa. Here's a report by Petrina Palu and Mavis Ajay.
WHO is a specialized agency mandated by ECOWAS to take care of health issues in the West Africa sub-region. They are also to harmonize policies and strengthen health systems in collaboration with member states. Mr. Keita said WHO has the mandate of all the ministers of health in the 15 ECOWAS countries. He said health systems must be done through operational planning to promote research in all areas of health for sustained improvement in the performance of health systems in West Africa. The Minister of Health, Joseph Filetre, in a speech read for him said, despite efforts and investments being made in health across West Africa, maternal and child mortality still remains unacceptably high. Health sectors continue to find trouble spots in the health systems, which continue to impede efforts to effective service delivery. Mr. Chire noted that to improve the health care of the people in West Africa, there must be research-based and socioculturally adaptable interventions, ably supported with the required domestic resources and development assistance, which will have the desired impact for the achievement of the MDGs in good time.
Petrina Palu and Mavis Ajay's report. Traditional and opinion leaders, district assemblies and the private sector have been asked to play effective roles in the fight against malaria. This is in view of the country's quest to achieve the Millennium Development Goals on child mortality by 2015. The country director of the Voices for the Malaria-Free Future Project, Emmanuel Fiagbe. made the call at a district malaria advocacy team dissemination forum in Accra. He said though child mortality on malaria has reduced from 222,000 to 4,000 in the past 4 years, there's much room for improvement. Here's a report by Yaya Kwamwa.
Malaria remains a persistent public health problem and the leading cause of death, especially in Africa, where 91% of such deaths take place. The country director of Voices for a Malaria-Free Future project, Emmanuel Fiagbe, said the goal of eliminating malaria from endemic countries would be difficult to achieve without commitment and support from all levels of leadership. He therefore called on government, the private sector, and leaders from all shades of non-governmental organizations to facilitate effective planning and delivery of the approved prevention and treatment. He called on participants to use football teams as a tool in their districts to ensure active involvement of the youth. Mr. Fiagbe said the program has achieved much success since its inception. The National Manager of Malaria Control Program of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Constance Bart-Flange, called for openness and transparency to repose trust and confidence in donor agencies and government. The acting deputy director of the Ghana Health Services, Dr. Frank Yonato, said the service remains committed to support programs that will see the total eradication of malaria. Participants called on district assemblies to ensure a timely release of the 0.5% of the district assembly common fund meant for malaria control.
A report by Yaya Kwamwa. The headmistress of the Roman Catholic Basic School at Tajewu in the Volta region, Veronica Gbafa, says parents are withdrawing their children from school due to the risk of crossing the new Akachi-Joje Highway. She said about 100 pupils have so far been withdrawn. She expressed worry that some of the children might end up not going to school at all. She appealed to the authorities to build speed ramps on the road to check over speeding by drivers. She disclosed this when the Volta Regional Minister visited the school as part of the My First Day at School program. The regional minister presented 15 laptops to the school as part of the One Computer One Project pilot scheme in the Volta region, whilst the 25 new kids received souvenirs, candies and biscuits to motivate them to remain in school. Government says it's working tirelessly to seek the release of about 70 detained Ghanaian nationals suspected to be mercenaries backing pro-Gaddafi rebels. The suspects are currently being held in detention in the Libyan capital, Tripoli. They're among a group of 10 and a group of West and North Africans being picked up on the orders of the National Transitional Council. The NTC has been rounding up persons with accusers of being mercenaries working for the fugitive leader. One of the detained Ghanaians, Hassan Abdallah, said presently no charges have been brought against them since last week when they were detained. He said their passports and luggage have been collected from them. Mr. Abdallah said the condition they live in is bad since they are given just water and a little bread for food. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Alhaji Mohamed Momuni, has corroborated the information but says the Ghanaians are being held in detention because of immigration irregularities and other offenses, but not as mercenaries. He gave the assurance that Ghana's mission in Tripoli is working tirelessly to have the prisoners released. The following segment comes after this.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
Welcome back. Ghana's ambassador to Berlin, Modestus Ahiable, has urged African countries to collaborate economically through bilateral trade. He said Benin and Ghana have a lot to share in the ECOWAS Protocol of Integration. Mr. Ahiable was speaking at the opening ceremony of an exhibition on Made in Ghana goods in Cotonou, Benin. The 10-day exhibition is being organized by the Ghana Export Promotion Council and is under the auspices of the Ministry of Trade and Industry in collaboration with the Ghana Embassy in the Republic of Benin. We bring you Justice Aban's report.
The exhibition showcases a variety of wholly 100% made in Ghana products. It is aimed at promoting increased and sustained export of Ghana products and services to Benin to promote joint ventures between Ghana businesses and their Beninois counterparts. The exhibition is the second of its kind. It follows on the heels of one organized by Ghana in 2005. 36 companies are participating in the exhibition. Speaking at the opening ceremony, Mr. Ahiable noted that Benin and Ghana have a lot to share in the ECOWAS Protocol of Integration. the Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Esports Promotion Council, Dr. Kojo Oguswajeman, said the intensification of globalization and international competition make it prudent and strategic that Benin and Ghana make efforts to deepen intra-regional trade. Dr. Oguswajeman appealed to the Foreign Affairs Ministries of Benin and Ghana to work towards reviving their Joint Permanence Commission for Cooperation. He said discussions are ongoing between Ghana and Benin to sign a memorandum of understanding to deepen bilateral trade and promote businesses in each other's country. Launching the event, the Minister of Trade of Benin, Madame Martina Sefu, observed that the integration of Africa is of necessity. According to her, partnership between Ghana and Benin is still in words. That is why Benin wants to support and encourage such integration.
A report by Justice Abban. Former President Jerry John Rawlings has praised the U.S. for its support for the peace process in Somalia, as well as in assisting to alleviate the humanitarian situation in the Horn of Africa. He urged the United States not to relent in its efforts, but continue to contribute in diverse ways towards the transitional process in Somalia. A statement issued by the office of the former president said he made the observation when the American ambassador to Ghana, Donald Teitelbaum, paid a courtesy call on him in Accra. Former President Rawlings, who is the African Union High Representative for Somalia, said significant progress has been made with the Somali transitional process following the adoption of a revised transitional roadmap at a recent consultative meeting. It says the continued support of the international community is paramount and commended the U.S. for its contributions to the process of building permanent state institutions in Somalia. This year, the U.S. committed $580 million towards the humanitarian situation in the Horn of Africa. Most schools in Swaziland are shut because of the financial crisis that has hit the government. According to the head of the Swaziland Principals Association, teachers are boycotting classes at the start of the new term because government has failed to pay money for school fees. The government has not yet received $35 million loan promised by South Africa to help it pay its bills. Football. Ghana has reached a historic All-Africa Games football final. Two teams, the Black Meteors and the Black Princesses, have emerged victorious, having beaten their counterparts in the semi-finals. The Black Meteors beat their Cameroonian counterparts 1-0 at the Matsikini Stadium in Maputo, Mozambique, while the Black Princesses walloped Algeria 3-0, also in the semi-finals clash in Matsikini. The Princesses scored all three goals in the opening half and maintained a compact defense that contained the Algerian second-half efforts to close out the tie and book a final date with Cameroon on Saturday. Now to end the news, the main points again. The NDC has cautioned political parties against usurping the Electoral Commission through hijacking the Inter-Party Advisory Committee, IPAC. And most schools in Swaziland are shut as a result of the financial crisis the government is facing. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.